And we didn't have to close down, did we? That's good. Down south, if everything, if any weather like this comes, everybody takes opportunity to shut down, I think, and stay in the house. But wasn't too bad. I got out in it today, and wasn't too bad. I didn't mind it that much. I had a guy at the gas station tell me, he said, I've been here 39 going on 40 years. He said, I know you're not from around here, but he said, I about had enough of this stuff. And he said, what do you think about it? I said, I think it's wonderful, but he said, you don't live here. We like to see it because we don't see that much of it, but I know it's different if you see too much of it, I guess. Tonight, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 29. I want to speak to you tonight on the hearers and the doers. The hearers and the doers. There's a group of people that are the hearers and the doers. There's a group of people that are the hearers only. And there is a group that is the doers only. And what the Lord instructs us to be is hearers and doers. That's what we need to be. We need to hear what God has to say, and then we need to put it in action and do it. And tonight we need to look at some teachings of Jesus as he taught through a parable about the hearers and the doers. And we'll find out that God gives us exactly the right way to build, the right foundation, and the right kind of building to build on that foundation. And the Bible says in verse number 24 of Matthew chapter 7, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to gather together to worship you tonight. And Lord, we're excited about those that have been able to come out tonight and the opportunity we have together to look in your word. And Lord, I think many times if we're honest in our heart with you, and you know the truth always, you know our hearts, many times we are hearers only. And then there are sometimes I believe we're just doers only. And we're doing those things that we did not hear anything from you to do. And yet, the blessing of the Christian life is being able to be a hearer and hear what you say and then put it into action and do it. Help us to analyze our own position in life with you. Help us to see, are we hearers and doers of the word? Help us make things right. Help us to make the decisions that ought to be made to do what we know we've heard to do. And we'll thank you for what you accomplish in our lives and in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Nearly one-third of Christ's teachings that are recorded in the scriptures are given to us in parables. We have to understand the parables of Christ to understand the teachings of Christ. All of his parables are found in the first three Gospels, the Gospel according to Matthew, the Gospel according to Mark, and the Gospel according to Luke. Parables are not fables, and they're actually lessons that Jesus teaches using a parable in a real situation to teach a spiritual truth that he's trying to get across to the people. There is no greater teacher than the Lord Jesus Christ. When verse number 29 says, "For he taught them as one having authority," there is no doubt about it, he is the authority. And no one ever taught like he taught. No one ever spake like he spake. And his method of using parables were easily understood as they are today, and clearly get across exactly the principles and truths that Christ wants us to understand and wants us to know. They are real situations. The word parable means to cast alongside of. It is a story cast alongside of a spiritual truth to help us better understand the spiritual truth. As we study the parables of the Lord Jesus, we will see that these are, no doubt about it, the greatest stories ever told. You cannot find a greater story anywhere at any time or any place that is any greater and could ever possibly be greater than the great stories taught to the multitudes and the individuals by the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those that hear and do, and as we've mentioned, there are those that just do, and there's those that just hear. We need to understand that, first of all, everybody is building a life. And the first important thing about building a life is the matter of the foundation. When you look at these parables, you see that Jesus immediately speaks about the foundation. There's the wise man that heard and he did, and he built his house on the right foundation, which was none other than the rock. That foundation was the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. That when it comes to the place of their knowledge of their sin and their condition as a lost individual, and is willing to get on the right foundation to build their life. I built my life for 27 years on the wrong foundation. I did not know there was another foundation. I did not know how to be on another foundation. But I was not a wise man at that point because my foundation was not solid and was not sure. And I was building my entire life on nothing more than sand. And Jesus wants us to understand that the same rains, the same floods, the same weather condition are going to come on the just and the unjust, and are going to beat upon our lives the same, whether we're saved or lost, but without a foundation, our final results will be an eternity of devastation, an eternity of destruction, eternal destruction, of never being destroyed, but spending an eternity separated from God and separated from Christ and hell forever. And when it builds his life on the right foundation of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, will be in heaven forever and will end up with a blissful eternity and a blessed eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at these scriptures, first of all, I want us to notice the person that's speaking. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29, it came to pass When Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. People in Christ's day had never heard anyone speak with authority, because authority had never spoken until Christ did the speaking. When they heard him speak, there was no misunderstanding of what he had to say. There was no misunderstanding of his words. They knew that when he had finished, that he had got across exactly what he wanted them to know in exactly the way that they needed to know it. We hear in today that from many sources that we are to have a religious tolerance. But when we look at the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was no religious tolerance. There was a direct teaching of the exact principle, the exact truth that needed to be gotten across with no tolerance of any other religious sect or no tolerance of any other false teachings. It was no excuse for anything that was going on around him, but he taught truth with authority. We live in a day when many people want to call what's wrong right. They want to call what's right wrong. And yet, whenever we look at the Bible, we find out that the Bible always tells us the very bottom line truth. This is right and this is wrong. Jesus never mixed words. He never compromised in any place of stand. And we are, as God's children, need to accept the authority that when Jesus speaks and the Word of God speaks, there is no other authority. There is no way to compare the words of the Lord Jesus Christ or the words of the entire Word of God with any other book, any other philosophy, any other religion, because there is no match for truth and there is no match for authority other than the precious Word of God that we hold within our hands and we hide within our hearts and we honor God through honoring His Word, and it's the only way we can get upon the right foundation. The Lord draws particular attention to the principle that he's stating. He said, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine. Some hear what Jesus says. I believe I've talked to people before. I know I have. I imagine many of you have. That I've explained to them the need for the right foundation. Your life is not right if you're building on the wrong foundation. It can never be right. You can never have eternal life. You can never go to heaven until you get on the right foundation. Because only foundation, there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. There is no other foundation to build upon. There is no other foundation to get on that leads to eternal life and a strong life. But many people hear that, but they never accept that. They never are doers of that word. The Bible said we must call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and those whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we hear what he has to say, and then to get on the foundation, we must receive Christ as our personal Savior. And he places us on the foundation. We don't actually build the foundation because he built it. We don't actually get on the foundation. He puts us on the foundation. Amen. We come to the knowledge. He said, if you'll hear and you'll do, you'll be like the wise man that built his house upon the rock. You can be on the right foundation. You can be on the only foundation. You can be put with your entire life and your entire future and your entire destination. You can be put on the rock. Or to reject that, you can simply build your life on the sand. We see that many times people today will build their life on a doer's foundation. I'd say for part of my 27 years, I was a doer, but not a hearer. A doer is that one that gets involved in a religion. They get involved in believing in good works and thinking that if they live a certain way and they do a certain amount of good deeds, that that is the right foundation. And they just can't seem to do enough to try to get favor with God and try to get the attention of God. And that's a doer only. They've never heard anything from God. They've never found and heard anything from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And they don't understand anything about faith. They've never heard anything about really who God is or anything about the foundation of life. And so they continually build and build and build as a doer on nothing but sand. When the final time comes and their time of eternity is at hand, and they pass off the scene, the doer will end up in hell forever and ever. And some of them came to Jesus one time and said, "Lord, have not we done great and mighty works in your name? Haven't we cast out demons, and haven't we done all these miracles and things?" And Jesus simply said, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." He said, "I never knew you. All you got in on was trying to do what you thought was the best thing to do, but you never were a hearer as well as a doer." Now, you've got to be a hearer and a doer for God to put you on the foundation. Amen? You've got to hear your sinful condition. You've got to hear that Jesus is your Savior. You've got to hear that Christ died on the cross to pay your sin debt. You've got to hear that there's full forgiveness because the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. You've got to hear about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the grave could not hold him. You've got to hear that for by grace are you saved through faith. And you've got to hear that simply in being placed on the rock by Christ himself, the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ is simply allowing him to do for you that he died to do for you, and that's to give you eternal life. Now, once we have the eternal life and once we're on the right foundation, now we've got a building process to continue. Here, once again, this principle holds true. The Bible talks about the foolish man and the wise man and how they built their house on two different foundations. It says that everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. In other words, you can hear all about how to be on the right foundation for eternal life and never do anything about it. Never do anything about it. And your foundation is sand. It will not stand. It will not last. It will not hold out for eternity. And of course, that one on the rock that is wise, this foundation cannot fall. Foundation can never be destroyed. It will never fall. It'll never fade away. It'll never crumble. It'll never give way. The foundation standeth sure. But now the building must be on the right foundation, but the building must be built right on the right foundation. This is where you find the strength of God's children, and you find the weak ones of God's children. The strong ones are building on the right foundation, but they're still hearers and doers in building the building on the right foundation. The ones that are on the foundation that's right and are the weak ones are the ones that continue to build what they believe to be their Christian life because they are born again. But they're building wood, hay, and stubble houses on a firm foundation. People, the storms do come. The storms will come. No one has an exemption from the trials. No one has an exemption from the storms. No one has any way to miss the storms of life. The rains are going to come down. The winds are going to blow. The difference is going to be, will your house fall, not the foundation, but the house? Or will your house stand firm? We have a promise that's given, and it's a wonderful promise. It's very simple. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. It fell not, because great was the foundation that it was built upon, a rock. Build your life as a strong Christian on the right foundation. You have to be a doer of what you hear from God. Whatever God has to say is what we put in action, is what we do. He tells us to apply it to our daily life. You continue to do what God says to do. You read your Bible. You attend church. You serve him in the capacity that he speaks to your heart to serve him. You confess any sin that he tells you to confess. You keep things right with God. And you strive to do everything you can according to what this book says is the right thing to do and the authority. And you put it into action. Now, in the church, there'll be the weak Christians. It's a tragedy in your family if you've seen it. It's a tragedy in your church if you've seen it. It's a tragedy in your life if you find yourself in that place to where you know what Jesus says. You know he tells you how to raise your children. You know he tells you how to build a Christian home with the right ingredients. You know how he tells you to build your spiritual life. You know how he tells you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you decide not to do it. You decide that there might be some better way or some alternative way, and so you disregard what Jesus says, and although you're on the right foundation, you're not building anything solid to stand when the storms come, and your house will fall. As a hearer and a doer of the word, you'll find when the storms come and the hard times come, not only you've got the foundation that stands sure, but you've got the ingredients in your life that stand strong. You haven't built on the foundation what you wanted to build. You hadn't decided what materials you wanted to use. You haven't decided what would be best to build on that foundation. You've left the choice up to the Lord. And you've let him build your life on that foundation. You won't find an up and down situation in your life when you build on the right foundation with the Bible as the authority. You won't find the storms will blow you away and cause you so much distress and so much depression that you cannot be risen above them. You don't rise above them, but you are risen above them because of the building that you built on the foundation. It's a strong building. But with the same opportunities to hear, are you listening? The same opportunities to do, some decide not to do. They only hear. The Lord speaks, they never move. The Lord instructs, they never heed. The Lord blesses and gives them opportunity after opportunity, and they never become a doer of the word, just a hearer only. And then they wonder later, why am I so blown away? Why does it seem like such a little thing that may have come their way knock them down so harshly and so forcefully? I've heard several testimonies of this matter of building and allowing God to build your life through his truths, through his principles, through his word, and allow God to build you strong in the Lord, as opposed to not being a doer and having a weak life that you built with wood, hay, and stubble on the foundation that God wanted you to let him build. You built it, or you let God build it. As you let God build it, it's built right, it's built strong, it's built correctly, it's got the right ingredients, it'll stand all the pressures of Satan, it'll stand all the tests of time, it'll stand all the storms. But if you build it, and you build it your way, God will let you do it. But someday, those storms come, those pressures come, the devil blows you away just so easy. You don't have any scriptural backbone behind you to fight Satan with. You just are tossed to and fro and become completely blown away. And I know if you go through some serious situations and you see others that go through serious situations, you'll see and you'll know who built their life or who let God build it. Those that let God build it, they'll go right on through. Just keep on going. Doesn't mean they don't get depressed. Doesn't mean they don't get disappointed. Doesn't mean they don't have heartache. That doesn't mean that they don't have grief. No, it doesn't mean that. But it means that they've got enough strength of the Lord to just keep on going through it. They're not completely destroyed. They're not taken out of church. They're not taken away from God's house. They're not going to be allowed to crumble. Why? Because they're standing in the Lord's strength that they've allowed him to build. The tragedy is many times people will want the last minute help. They want to call 911. They want to call the spiritual 911 to come and rescue them and help them and strengthen them and shore them up. And it's just not a possibility when they've built a whole life on the foundation of a building that will not stand. Will not stand. You can encourage them. You can try to help them. But you can't keep them from being blown away. Because they have built their life their way as a child of God on the right foundation, thank God. But they haven't allowed the building to be built correctly. These are the ones that say, and this crowd is probably not the crowd for the negative side of the message, if that is the negative side. You're probably more the solid building crowd, and maybe it's more for an encouragement for you. But you can never, ever, ever substitute anything for God building your life through God's word as you hear and as you do. You can build and allow God to build your life on the right foundation, and you can build it for years and years and years and years, and you can stop being a doer. And it won't be too long down the road. You will begin to crumble. You say, when does the building process start? For the Christian, the moment he allows the Lord to put him on the foundation. That's when that building begins. And on that right foundation, if he's never on the right foundation, he'll never have anything that will stand. Now, let me give you one example, and I'm going to finish tonight, and maybe this is the main thrust of this particular evening. But everybody, everywhere in your family, in your church family, in your day-to-day life, in your neighborhood, with your children many times, you're going to have them have some kind of a need and perhaps come to you to help with that need. You can help them from now until your eternity starts. And if you never point them to the right foundation, and you never are able to scripturally get them to be building and letting God build their life correctly, you'll never really help them. I've had people in my family that said, all I need is money. Can you give me? Can you loan me? Can I just got to have money. The reason they didn't have money is because they either had not got on the right foundation ever because they didn't want to. They had heard. Or they were on the right foundation but wouldn't do what he said. And they're never going to be any stronger with the amount of money that you might give them, although you may have a time you need to help them financially. I'm not saying you ought not to help them, but the only real help is when they come to the place of understanding, I need to quit building my building of my life on the wrong materials. I've got to... And I don't think it's wrong to give an incentive to somebody to ask for help. You need some help. Yeah, that's right, you do. But now in order for me to help you with this particular need, you must do such and such. It's been so many years since you've been in church. It's been so many years since you've done what was right. If I help you, you will have to do this, that, and the other. And I have seen that work. The person you try, oh, I guess I'll have to come. I need the money. I mean, hey, I'm going to lose something. I got to have the money. I tell you what, I'll give you the money, but you're going to have to come to church so many months or so many weeks or whatever the case might be. And I got to know that you were there. And every time you're not there, then you will owe more back to me because I'm going to give it to you if you're there. Or whatever the case might be. Now, what you're doing, you're saying, hey, if you're not on the right foundation, you better get on it and give them more of an opportunity to hear and the Holy Spirit work on their heart to do. Or if they are on the right foundation to get right, they wouldn't go to church because you gave them an incentive to do so with the right heart and mind. I promise you that, but the Holy Spirit's able to take the word, isn't he? At least you've got an exposure to them. But if you never do anything about trying to get them to the foundation or to build correctly on the foundation, they will never, ever have enough money to do anything with. They'll never be out of trouble. They'll never stay out of trouble. You can help them, you can help them, you can help them, you can help them, and yet you've not helped them at all until they're on the right foundation and allowing God to build their life on that foundation. If you're going to build on the right foundation, there's some places you cannot go. If you're going to build on the right foundation, the right kind of life, there's some things you can't look at. If you're going to build on the right foundation, there's some ways you can't present yourself. If you're going to build on the right foundation, there's some language that you cannot participate in. If you're going to build on the right foundation, there's some funning and joking that's not right and off color that you can't get involved in. If you're going to build a life on the right foundation, you've got to make sure that there's a purity in your life. According to why? Because that's what God says. Amen. You have to be sure that there's a time in your life for the things that are priorities with God, and that's building on the right foundation. Some people say, well, I don't have time. You got as much time as everybody else does. I've wanted more than 24 hours, but I never have got it because it's not possible to get. I thought if I could get 25 hours out of a day, I'd be ahead somewhere. But I wouldn't be. If I can't manage 24 any better, I sure can't manage 25. If you can't prioritize 24, you couldn't do no more with 25. So it's a matter of how do you want your life to be built. It's possible to be faithful to church every time the doors open. It's possible to sit out there and respond facially and shake your head in agreement and never do anything. And then someday waver and eventually kind of just waste away. Age-old question, I think, that a lot of us are confronted with, and sometimes it's within our own family, and there's a big question mark. Did that person really come to know the Lord? Well, yeah, I remember, boy, their life really changed. I mean, everything about them changed. I mean, they were faithful in the work of the Lord, and buddy, they would hear something and you would see them doing it. And the storms came. And then they stood the storms for a while, and then all of a sudden they decided to cool off a little bit, begin to be more of a hearer, less of a doer. God would speak to them about sin in their life, and they wouldn't do anything about it. They wouldn't come confess their sin and get things right with God. They'd just tolerate it, try to ignore the Spirit's wooing. And not too long before the building, not strong anymore. And then the weaker that it got, the more wayward it got. And then it looks the question mark. Did they really get saved? It's a good possibility they did. But they forgot to be a hearer and a doer, and a hearer and a doer, and a hearer and a doer, and a hearer and a doer. The secret, Jesus said, to the strong building is the foundation. And then building correctly on that foundation. Letting God have his way. Continuing to hear and continuing to do. Anything less than that, anything compromised with that, will weaken your building and weaken my building. Are you a hearer? Or a hearer only? The Bible said, be not a hearer only, but be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. Hearers and doers of the word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be a people that will hear what you say and be willing to do it. And Lord, it may just be someone that's listening to this message that they begin to slide a little bit in the wrong direction. You're still speaking to them, and yet they're not doing anything about it. Lord, help them to see that that's a dangerous way to have their life built, even on the right foundation. Because that kind of building will not stand. Lord, help us to want the kind of building that will just stand on that sure foundation and continue to stand not in our strength, but in your strength, because you're the one that strengthens us. And we'll be careful to thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please bow our heads and hearts again. Father, once again, we thank you for this evening that we've been able to come in the house of the Lord. And Father, we thank you for the powerful reminder of the great blessing and the great privilege that each and every one of us who knows you has experienced. To have been removed from the shifting sands of the world and set on the sure foundation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we're reminded of the psalmist who said, except the Lord build the house, they that build it labor in vain. Except the Lord watch the city, the watchman watcheth in vain. And Lord, we're fully aware that we enjoy this position and this place by your grace and by your mercy. But Father, we're also reminded that there are times when we allow inferior materials to enter our lives. We seek the counsel of someone who is not as spiritual as they ought to be. Lord, we seek the counsel from someone who is completely and totally unsaved. Well, Lord, we begin to reason according to our own mind and our own hearts. And Lord, we never come to your throne of grace for your approval or your disapproval, for your acceptance or your rejection of our thoughts or ideas or our approaches. And Lord, I'm sure that most of us here tonight know of a family or more who, Lord, they reasoned within themselves and they tacked a course that became a disaster. And Father, as you know the nature and the need of each and every heart tonight, continue to speak to us. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no more than tonight. Whether you have allowed the devil to bring into your life some inferior materials, thoughts and ideas, what we're talking about, at the expense of rejecting God's specific principles or precepts, because somehow you thought that you could do a better job than what God has already given to you to do, the way he wanted you to do it. You just simply say, "Preach, would you pray for me in closing tonight? I've got some inferior lumber that I need to replace. Some ideas and some thoughts that really haven't been working out too well, and I need to get them aside and bring in some of that honest, good, solid Bible principle kind of building material. Maybe just in your personal life, and then maybe also in your family life as well. Preach, would you pray for me in closing tonight?" Anyway, yes, preach, would you pray for me tonight? Preacher, would you pray? You may want to also consider tonight the fact is that if you are doing it right, the devil's always around the corner wanting to sell you inferior, less than acceptable materials to build your thought life, the family dynamics, or your marriage dynamics. And ask God to keep your mind, to keep your heart secure and safe, to know what is right and to know what is wrong, to always know. Well, Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together tonight. We thank you for how your Spirit has moved to re-encourage us again, to remind us of, Lord, the greatest responsibility we have is to be so yielded and so surrendered that, Lord, as you bring in the building materials to our lives, we put them all in their proper places so that our lives, our minds, our hearts, our eyes, our ears will be protected against the devil's garbage and filth. But Lord, also, that we'd be able to bring our mouths, our attitudes and our actions under control to be more of what the Lord is like. And we'll give you the praise and give you the honor and the glory. And Father, we pray that you give traveling mercies as each and every one of us travels home tonight. We ask and pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple quick announcements. Number one, Clark and Isabel will be flying out on Wednesday. Glenn has outpatient surgery on Wednesday. Paul and Michelle will be traveling back tomorrow. They've been at a funeral in Massachusetts. So remember these folks in prayers, if you, in your prayers, if you would. Equal as well. So thank you.